We are interacting with them much more often. There's probably one on your phone or in your living room, finding information, recommending restaurants, playing games with us. Some are also working in our factories and driving vehicles. So is it time to start considering questions of accountability and even the social standing of robots? Northern Illinois University Professor David Gunkel is with us today. He's a distinguished teaching professor of communication technology at Northern and also the author of Robot Rights. Professor Gunkel, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell.
Thank you. Good morning.
I kind of set us up there to have a discussion about robots. Am I focusing on the right robots there, or are we talking about a different set of robots?
Yeah, it's a really good question, because when you ask anyone to define robot, chances are you're going to get a definition that's all over the map. In fact, if you ask a room full of roboticists to define robot, you're going to get as many different answers to that question as there are people in the room. And that's because robot is such a broad umbrella term that it covers everything. You know, you can think of your smartphone even as a kind of robot. It senses its environment, it takes data and processes it, and it provides output in various forms. So when we talk about robot, we can talk about it being that kind of thing that wheels around, that like we see on science fiction shows or like in Westworld or whatever. Or we can talk about it more generally in terms of the kinds of smart technologies that are invading our world and becoming more and more of our everyday activities.
As we consider that, then the next question becomes: the issues of accountability, the issues of legalities, social standing. Some of these questions are already starting to be asked in real ways. We had a self-driving vehicle hit and kill someone recently. There's been these automotive crashes. I think Tesla's had a few fatal crashes as well, where they've been in autonomous mode. So these are questions we kind of really need to get our head around, aren't they?
Correct. More and more of these machines are becoming autonomous or semi-autonomous. And in those modes, the assignment of accountability and responsibility gets to be a bit diluted. And when you're talking about a legal liability, when you're talking about identifying who is responsible for something going right or for something going wrong, it is becoming increasingly difficult to point the finger at the right location because the machines are now taking over more and more of this decision-making from us.
Because, I mean, one would just assume that, okay, if Tesla made the robot, they would be responsible for it. But it seems like a deeper question than that.
It does, and it especially comes a deeper question when you look at the way that a lot of the intelligence, if you want to use that in quotation marks, of these machines is designed. It used to be that you used a form of programming where you told the machine exactly what to do. Now the machines are programmed with the capability to learn on their own. It's called machine learning. There's various forms of machine learning, but the machine is able to decide on its own course of action and come up with its own solutions to problems that are not necessarily programmed by a human designer or programmer. A really good example is the AlphaGo Go plane computer from DeepMind. The engineers who built it have no idea how it works, but it plays Go, and it plays championship-level Go and is rated as one of the best Go players in the world.
Your forthcoming book, I think it's due out September 7th, Robot Rights, tackles this issue. What would be the roadmap here in your mind?
Yeah, right now it's really difficult to see an exact line forward into the future that is just one solution. I think we're looking at a complex of different ways of grappling with this issue. We're kind of at the same place we were in the 19th century when we were trying to make our legal systems accommodate the corporations. As corporations became more powerful, we needed to come up with ways of fitting them to our legal system. And I think we're looking at the robot now in a kind of similar light. It is now a new social entity. It interacts with us. It does something in our world. And accommodating our laws to fit this new social entity is going to take a considerable amount of time, but also some effort on the part of legislatures, on the part of courts, on the part of individual citizens, trying to come up with a solution to decide what are these things. I mean, where do they fit? In our world of things.
Aside from our discussion here and discussions, I'm sure, at universities and in other places of technology, there are those conversations being had in general assemblies and legal courtrooms and those kinds of places where they need to be had?
They are beginning to happen, yes. And you have a number of initiatives, mainly in Europe right now, because they have a different kind of legal system than we do, where you are drafting basically sets of guidelines to help us decide these questions. We did have this event in the U.S. where one of the self-driving cars did kill a pedestrian, and there were some legal decisions that had to be made with that. I think more and more as these machines become greater in their autonomy, we are going to have challenges to how we assign accountability and responsibility, and these will have to be decided in a number of different ways.
David, I think a lot of people who are listening are probably thinking, well, this is really the stuff of science fiction. We often think of robots in movies as being, you know, things you can just shut off. But we're getting to a point, and futurists say that there will be a point, where these kinds of technologies may become self-aware and maybe on equal or higher footing than us someday.
Yeah, these are the singularians. They believe in this idea of the singularity, where the machine one day becomes super intelligent and surpasses us and becomes conscious and self-aware. I don't think that's our big concern right now. In fact, I think it's kind of a distraction, because we can easily kick the can down the road and say, we don't got to, you know, deal with these questions until that day comes, and then we'll deal with it. I think we have to deal with really mundane things like Alexa. Does Alexa have a right to privacy? Because Alexa is in your home, Alexa's collecting data on you and your family, and can a warrant be issued for Alexa to turn over privacy information about you and your family? Does the robots that we utilize in the battlefield, are they just tools that are used by soldiers, or are they, as we're learning more and more with engagements between soldiers and these robots, are they considered part of the unit? Are they, you know, part of a team? And if they are, can you just turn that robot off? Can you just replace it with a new model? I think the more mundane, everyday questions are far more fascinating and far more disturbing than these big science fiction scenarios.
Yeah, and the military one is even more disturbing when you kind of get into that one. We have some machines now, these drones that are flying around with weapons of mass destruction aboard of them, and some of them, I know there's a conversation going on right now about whether or not these can deploy on their own and bomb on their own.
Correct. In fact, the current technology that we have for the drones allow them to operate in fully autonomous mode for most of their operations, and right now, when it comes time to make a kill decision, they have to defer to a commanding officer who says, yes, kill or don't kill. But that's just a subroutine in a more complex program. So there is a huge initiative to try to limit and even restrict fully the autonomous killing machines that are being designed not only in the U.S. but elsewhere in the world. And there are discussions at the U.N. and elsewhere as to how to proceed with this regulation on an international level.
This seems like a one-sided conversation, too. I mean, if you dive further into this, if we're going to have this conversation about robots and giving them rights, who's going to represent the robot side of this discussion?
It's a really interesting question because, you know, right now we have that happening with animals when there is a debate whether a whale should have the right to life or whether a river, as in New Zealand recently, should have the rights of a person to be protected from exploitation. You have various human advocates who play the role of representing the natural environment or the animal in court. You can imagine at some point in the future, just like you have advocates for the corporation who are lawyers who advocate on behalf of a artificial entity, you could do the same for an AI or a robot. It could be assigned some kind of defense lawyer or some sort of representation within the legal system.
It's interesting you bring up the animals part of this. Anna, there's been a lot of effort to try to give animals more rights. That effort has moved pretty slowly. Can you draw any sort of connection between this conversation and that regarding the speed at which some of this might happen?
Yeah, I think it will happen a lot faster for the robots because I think we don't worry so much about the liability and responsibilities of animals. In other words, we're not going to hold an animal accountable for having done something wrong. But I do think we will be in positions of saying, you know, is the autonomous vehicle responsible for this accident? And as a result of those questions of accountability and responsibility, I think the legal gears will be moving much more quickly than they were with the animal questions.
David, we know that we've been talking a lot of futuristic stuff here, and I think some people might say, oh, well, this is way off in the future. It's not really. I mean, we're talking about stuff that's happening now and what we could be working and living alongside even more concrete robots within the next decade or two, right?
Yeah, in fact, the way I explain it to my students is, you know, we are right now in a robot invasion. I mean, the robot invasion of science fiction is happening currently. Now, it doesn't look like we've been told to expect it in science fiction. It's not a bunch of androids descending from the heavens with ray guns and spaceships and things like this. It doesn't look like Westworld. It doesn't look like, you know, Battlestar Galactica or Terminator. It looks more like the fall of Rome, where every day more and more decisions are passed over to recommendation algorithms, where more and more work is being done by automated systems, etc. And one day we're going to wake up and we're going to say to ourselves, where did all the robots come from? And I think instead of waiting for that day to come, it's best to be prepared and start thinking about these rather difficult questions right now.
Are you optimistic or pessimistic about the future with robots?
I'm pretty optimistic. I think, you know, we figured this out for all kinds of other challenges to our social systems in the past. I think the only important thing that I would point out is that I think we got to have these conversations now. I think all too often we think, as we've been talking today, that these are science fiction scenarios. We don't need to worry about them for a decade, 2 decades, 50 years, whatever. I think that's really waiting too long. We have to begin that conversation today because right now this is occurring, and if we don't get ourselves prepared for this, we're going to be surprised in ways that may not be very pleasant.
Very good conversation. Robot Rights is the name of the book. Again, September 7th is the release date. All the best with the book, David, and thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you very much.
Professor David Gunkel at Northern Illinois University. Again, the book is called Robot Rights. David is a distinguished teaching professor of communication technology at Northern Illinois University, and Robot Rights is published by MIT Press.